I'd like to call a Health Social Services Committee to order at this time. It's 1:35. We have three members present, so we do have a quorum. We have present Senator Vest. I always want to mix.
Pass Van,
Vice Chair, and Senator Johnny Ellis, and Betty Davis.
And Joe Thomas.
Madam Chair.
Oh, okay, Joe, I didn't see you.
Slid right in.
You came right in. So we do have four people present.
There you go.
And Senator Dyson is absent for today, as an excuse absence. We do have two bills coming before us today, which I'm very happy that they are before us. Our program is considered named Denali Kid Care. This is dealing with the S-CHIP funding for children's health care. We have two bills that's going to come before us. One is to increase it from 175 to 200%. Another bill is for full health care for all children in the state. And we're going to hear both of those bills today. We're going to hear the 200% bill first. We have a few people that have signed up for it. If there are others that need to sign up, please do that so you can get your testimony in. And I hope that you have your cell phones off. That would be committee members as well as the people in the audience. If we have a lot of people to testify, we will limit it to 2 minutes for individuals and 3 minutes for groups. If there's a lot, if not, we'll take as much testimony as we can. I'd like to go right into introduction of the bill. I'm the sponsor of the first bill, and we're going to have my aide to come up, Tom Overmar, give an overview of this bill for us, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Tom Overmar, aide to Senator Davis. Before you is Senate Bill 13. It's an act relating to eligibility requirements for medical assistance for certain children and pregnant women and providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 13 increases and restores to the original levels qualifying income eligibility standard for the Denali Kid Care program to 200% of the federal poverty guideline and makes health insurance accessible to an estimated 1,300 more uninsured children and 225 pregnant women in Alaska. Denali Kid Care is an enhanced reimbursement program with up to 70% matching funds under the federal government state children's health insurance program, which was created in 1997. Congress reauthorized the S-CHIP program for 5 years, and President Obama has just signed into law on February 4th, expanded coverage for 4 million more children. The 200% level was also recommended by the Alaska Health Care Strategies Council in December of 2007. Alaska, as one of the nation's richest states, is only one of five states which funds this S-CHIP program below 200% federal poverty guideline. Increasing Alaska Denali Kid Care to 200% only brings it to the level which was established 10 years ago. Consider the following information from the Kaiser Commission on Medicaid and the Uninsured in January of 2009. 44 states, including D.C., cover children and families with incomes at 200% federal poverty guideline or higher. 33 states cover children and families with income between 200 and 250% federal poverty guideline. 19 states, including D.C., cover children and families with income at 250% or higher. 10 of these states cover children and families with income at 300% federal poverty guideline or higher. 35 states allow premiums, enrollment fees, or co-payments for selected services in the S-CHIP programs on a sliding scale. Denali Kid Care serves an estimated now 7,900 Alaska children and remains one of the least costly medical assistance programs in the state at about $1,700 per child with full coverage, including dental, which is about one-fourth or 20% of the cost of adult senior coverage. Early intervention and preventative care under Senate Bill 13 will greatly increase Alaska's children's health and yield substantial savings to the state and public and private sector hospital emergency rooms, which must admit indigent and uninsured patients for non-emergency treatment. It is estimated that uninsured children with a medical need are 5 times as likely not to have a regular doctor as insured children and 4 times as likely to use emergency rooms at a much higher cost. It is estimated there are still 18,000 uninsured children in Alaska, about 9% of the children age 18 and under. Private health care coverage for children has declined over 30% in the last 10 years, and the deepening recession is pulling more children and families into the uninsured ranks. The reauthorized SCHIP program and stimulus package should help, but Alaska is encouraged to do its share and take advantage of the federal matching funds by insuring its low-income children up to and including 200% federal poverty guideline under SB 13.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions at this time? I do want to say that we have people from the department. This one, Jerry Fuller, is online. He's there to answer questions. And I guess we do have some other people in the audience. At this time, I will give you an opportunity to come up if you plan to testify or have a statement to make. Anybody from the department? Or is there anybody online other than Jerry Fuller? Not hearing anybody.
Madam Chair, this is the Kenai moderator. We do have someone who would like to testify in SB 13.
From the department?
No, madam.
Yes, I will get to you. Thank you very much. If we have no questions, then I think we can go right into the testimony then. And we'll take some from here, and then we'll take some of those as some of the LIOs as we go. I'd like to call up Dr. Brown if he's in the audience. Welcome, we're glad to have you.
I'm George Brown. I live at 1640 Second Street in Douglas, and I'm very happy to speak again for children. I have practiced medicine in Alaska since 1965, and most of it in pediatrics. And I think I basically want to just speak to two issues here. I'm delighted that the federal government has expanded coverage for SCHIP, and I'm very pleased that both in the House and the Senate here in Alaska, there are bills that will do the same to get the coverage up to 200%. I also know there are bills which would raise this to higher levels. I have been speaking with my pediatric colleagues here in Juneau about the issue of higher levels with copays. First, I want to make sure that the committee knows that all my colleagues in pediatrics here in Juneau are very much in favor of a 200% coverage for children without copay. And we salute the fact that this seems to be moving forward with the governor's support. As far as going up to 275% or higher levels, the issue of whether copays really work or not is a tough one. One of our members has indicated that she had experience from the state of Washington where there was a copay, there was a significant amount, I don't know the exact amount, and the problem that this requirement seemed to cause for the families is they would get behind on their copays and then they would become ineligible. On the other hand, there's clearly, and we see this in clinical medicine all the time, the issue of people who think if it's all free, you know, they can miss their appointments and they become pretty sloppy about being required to do their part as parents. And we certainly don't encourage that. We work hard to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so some of my colleagues, and I tend to agree with this, think that perhaps a very simple uniform copay of maybe $10 or $15 per visit, but without any punitive results from this. And the reason I stress this is because, again, in my experience, both here in Alaska and in Vermont, working with these programs with families who have not had health insurance before, it sometimes takes them many years to learn that they are welcome in a doctor's office because they have been shut out from this for so long. But I've seen this happen over and over again. When they come in, they are treated with respect. They see other families who have, you know, because they know about the importance of prevention and health care for children, who are in the waiting room, they learn a whole lot from them, and they come to realize, you know, this is more important than buying more cigarettes or going to a movie. And they become good users of the preventive medical system. And that's what I would close on saying, that the whole idea of SCHIP for children ultimately is prevention. And I know I've given this information before. For every dollar we put in prevention, we save at least six, maybe up to $10 in the long run. And so this is an investment for children. And thank you so much for recognizing this. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions of Dr. Brown at this time? Not at this time. We thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
I also want to say before we call someone else up that we do have two individuals from NCSL that's online. They are willing to answer any questions that we might have. They are not particularly interested in just testifying. And that is Jennifer Sanders and also Martha King. At this time, I'd like to call up Rod Beatty.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Rod Beatty. I'm the president of Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. As was just said, we're very excited to see this bill before the committee. I represent 28 healthcare providers throughout the community, throughout the state. We have tribal, military, private, also city-owned organizations within our association, and there's a wholehearted support for this particular piece of legislation. It's been approved by our legislative committee, which meets and reviews the bills and takes positions, and there was unanimous support expressed by them with respect to this bill. I'd just say that bringing it to the 200% level, I think, is extremely critical for the state to do. This isn't a step that would be premature, even recognizing that the healthcare commission process hasn't started yet, because we believe this would be one of the first things that that commission would recommend that the state do. I also served on the Healthcare Strategies Planning Council. It came out of our council last year that this was a step that the state should take. Didn't happen last session, but we think this is a good time for that to occur. And with that, I'd be happy to respond to any questions. There's a number of provisions in the bill that I think that have already been spoken to that I think are very strong and very important to run a good program. And the funding should be there to accomplish this. So, Madam Chair, that's the essence of my testimony.
Thanks for your testimony. Are there any questions from committee members? If not, we'll go now to Kenai, LIO. Nancy St. John Smith, are you there?
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Would you state your name for your record and who you represent?
As you said, my name is Nancy St. John Smith, and I'm with Peninsula Community Health Services in Soldotna and Kenai, Alaska. Since 2002, our community health center, which was called Central Peninsula Health Centers, has been offering medical and dental care to our communities on the Kenai Peninsula. We merged with Central Peninsula Counseling Services in October 2008, and under our new name, Peninsula Community Health Services, we're also offering behavioral health care. I urge our legislatures to please pass the bill increasing that DKC eligibility guideline to the 200% poverty level. Because of Denali Kid Care, we can offer preventative medical and dental care to many children who would not otherwise receive care. As an example, we see many folks on an emergency basis every day at our dental clinic who have not received any dental care as children, and they come into the clinic in terrible pain. And at this point, or the point they come in, the tooth or teeth have to be pulled. That affects their future health, dentition, their ability to eat, and their nutrition, as well as heart health and other health issues. So in many ways, they're affected in their future. And we see, as the doctor mentioned earlier, the ability to offer prevention for these folks to improve their quality of life early on and teach them what they need as far as prevention and models of care for their future to help them continue to have good health and raise their children with the same good habits. thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to this. Really appreciate that the legislators are leaning toward passing it. It means everything to us here on the Kenai. Thanks.
Thanks for your testimony. Are there any questions? Hearing no question, at this time I'd like to call up Dr. Budo, and that's off site, off net. Are you there? Dr. Budo?
Yes, hi. My name is Jody Buto. I'm a pediatrician in Anchorage, Alaska. I am the chapter president for the American Academy of Pediatrics Alaska chapter. And I feel like I'm speaking both as a member of the pediatric community in Anchorage as well as our chapter president. And that SCHIP has made a huge difference in the health of the children across the United States. And I think that it's important that here in Alaska, well, actually not in Alaska right now, but that's okay. that in Alaska, we provide our children with the best care possible, and that means access to care. And part of the access to care is insurance. And the as was previously stated, the return on investment in terms of how many dollars are the program cost versus the result in savings in health care, as Dr. Brown stated earlier, I'd also like to comment on the advantage in healthy children in their school performance. And this is not necessarily a tangible result, but the kids who have good health and particularly good dental health perform better in school, have fewer missed days, have better behavior, and all around have greater success academically. And this, while we can't quantify that, it's an important part of healthcare, as well as children who receive preventive healthcare have higher incidence of immunization rates. We're able to follow and keep better control of chronic diseases. They learn healthier habits in terms of trying to manage obesity or chronic asthma and things like that. And so I applaud the legislature for tackling this issue and being so supportive of Alaska children, and thank you for the opportunity to testify for it.
That completes your testimony? Yeah. Is that the end of your testimony?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Here are no questions. I also want to say that from the department, we do have Sherwood and Fitzgerald, and they are here to answer questions if we do need to hear from them. At this time, I'd like to call on, from Anchorage, Dana Graham.
Thank you, Senator Dana. Thank you, other senators.
Yes.
Appreciate being able to speak to you today. My name is Donna Graham, and I'm representing AFAT, Anchorage Faith and Action Congregations Together. I also happen to be a school nurse and parish nurse. I'm very thrilled that we are, as Alaskans, finally coming back to our 200%. There are a lot of children and a lot of families out there rejoicing. It's been almost 2 years since we had a large public meeting at Central Lutheran, and the families came forward and talked about their pain, not being able to keep their children healthy and waiting until things have really unraveled before they can seek help. This is the right way to go, get back to 200%. At least. I'm very proud to be an Alaskan, and I know we are a rich state in many ways, and I think one of the ways we can show it is not to be at the bottom of those statistics of which state put their kids first. I think this is a great step forward, at least 200%. The copay issue we can work on above that, but we need to get to at least 200% without the copay and put more kids back into fitness and health. Back into preventive kinds of things, school attendance, enough energy to enjoy the school, enough good learning to keep that lifelong health picture. A big, big savings in money too, of course. We're very excited and we're very hopeful that it will go to at least 200%. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak.
Yeah, we thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Donna Graham, this is Johnny Ellis in Juneau. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Please tell the folks there, I remember fondly my days in the youth choir at Central Lutheran, and hope you'll tell the folks there hello, and especially to EFECT for the good work in my neighborhood of Fairview. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Senator Ellis, and thank all of you for caring for our kids. We're 15 congregations just full of families who are going to rejoice to see this happen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'd like to call on Jocelyn Nigro,
Jordan.
Anchorage.
Jordan Nigro.
Is it Jordan? Okay. Come forward. You can state your name for the record and your affiliation.
My name is Jordan Nigro, and I work for Juneau Youth Services here in Juneau, and I'm also the president of the Alaska Association of Homes for Children. And thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to testify. You know, everything that I was going to say has been said, to be honest. We're really excited to see all of these bills coming forward for Denali Kid Care. We spent a lot of time last year, so we're happy to see it coming to fruition. I think the only comment I would add, which actually the previous speaker said too, is I think if a sliding fee does go into effect, that we hope that it will not come into effect until at least 200% or over. It would be good just to get back to the 200%, and that would be excellent for our associations. Behavioral health is for youth is really primarily funded through Denali Kid Care, and there are many kids and families that could use the services that aren't able to access them because they're right on that cusp. And I think in Alaska we have a high number of families right on the cusp because of lifestyle fishing, different sort of subsistence lifestyles that we live here. So we're excited to see this and excited to see so many people here testifying in support. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Here are no questions. I know we have quite a few social workers in the audience. If there's some of you that want to testify, would you come by twos and testify at this time? State your name for the record and who you affiliated with.
Good afternoon. Thank you for hearing me today, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Laverne Dementiff, and I am speaking on behalf of the National Association of Social Workers Alaska Chapter, on behalf of our members and as the president of the board. I am also a clinical assistant professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks in the Social Work Department. There are currently three board members and our executive director in the audience that are here to show their support for Senate Bill 87 as well. NESW strongly supports the efforts of this committee to raise the Denali Kid Care eligibility requirements to 300% for Alaskan of Alaska's federal poverty level. Sadly, Alaska, with all of our resources, is one of only 9 states with eligibility requirements below 200%, and this makes us the 4th least responsive state to children who live in poverty. Raising eligibility requirements to 200% would restore vital health insurance to 1,300 children and 225 pregnant women. Imagine what raising it to 300% would achieve for Alaskan families. In closing, fiscal responsibility is everyone's priority. In passing this bill, Alaska won't shoulder a majority of the costs associated with this program. With the passing of SCHIP, the federal government will pay for 70% to 75%. This is an important investment in our children's future, in our children and families' future, and for the future of Alaska. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Here are no questions. Is there anyone else in the audience out there that needs to testify, want to testify? What about off-site? Anybody off-site that needs to testify, wants to testify? If not, that completes the testimony that we have. As I said, we do have people to answer questions if the committee needs to hear that. If not, we're going to close out the testimony for this particular bill, which is Senate Bill 13, and move forward to Senate Bill 80. Seven. There are some of you who have signed up to testify on both of these bills. What I'd like to say before I bring the sponsor forward is that we thought it would be fitting to bring both of these bills at the same time. We would love, as a committee, to have full health care for all our children. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but they need to be discussed at least, and we need to have these bills out there in place in case we are able to do it. So we have two bills before you. If you want to testify on this particular bill, feel free to do that when the time comes. Is Wilkowski, Senator, here? While we're waiting for him, is there any comments to be made by the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Thomas.
Yes, Senator Thomas.
Thank you. Is there, is this bill, what are the referrals for this bill? I don't see them listed on the bill itself.
Are you talking about 13 now?
Yes.
It goes to finance. I think that's the only other referral that it has.
So you had intended to just allow the fiscal note explanations or any practice that they might need to take place in finance, or you, and not to?
You have the finances of the fiscal notes that have been given, and the department is here. They can speak to them if you have questions on it or concerns about it, but the real finance will come, the real report will come before them.
Okay.
But we do have it in front of us.
No, the only reason I thought it might be good to get some explanation and whether they actually take into consideration the savings when they do their fiscal note, because obviously the numbers add up rather quickly, and I don't know if they actually take advantage of the concepts of intervention and prevention that we all talk about, and whether it's almost like practice for them, I guess, to talk to more than one committee. But I understand finance will take that up. So
okay, we can also call them up. We do have somebody in the audience. We have people online.
Yes.
They may speak to the note. I'm sorry that I call you, because I think you're in another meeting, aren't you? This should not take that long. I'm sorry.
Thank you. For the record, I'm John Sherwood with the Department of Health and Social Services. Through the chair, with regard to our assumptions on the fiscal note of the cost of caring for kids, we didn't specifically take those preventive aspects into account, but we based our costs on the cost of children in the next lowest income group that were covered. They experienced the same sort of preventive effects from being covered by Denali Kid Care, and we've assumed that the impacts would be comparable. So,
okay.
Any further?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Wilkowski, you may come forward.
Thank you, Senator Davis and members of the committee. My name is Bill Wilkowski. I'm the state senator for Northeast Anchorage, and I'm here to talk to you about SB 87. And I make no illusions about it. I'm accompanied by my staffer, Michelle Seideman, who is the brains behind this bill. I won't go into detail. I know you just had a presentation on Denali Kid Care and the importance of it, and I know, Madam Chair, you have been a champion of this for many years, and I thank you for that. This is a bill that we filed 2 years ago, and we pursued it, and I'm filing again. And one of the reasons that we did file it again was because of the significant increase that we are getting from the federal level. As you know, we're increasing our federal funds from about $10 million to over $22 million, and we feel that gives us an opportunity to expand Denali Kid Care well beyond the 200% threshold. What this bill does is it does increase the base Denali Kid Care, which would be available to everyone, to 200% of the federal poverty level. But then it goes a step further, and it does something that about 32 other states do, which is it allows people to pay a premium and to buy in up to the level of 300%. And what we think this bill does, Madam Chair, is to essentially provide children's health care, at least make it available to every child in the state of Alaska. The people under 200% would get it, and the federal government would pick up the vast majority of that, 65 or 66%. The people over 300% probably should be able to afford health care. And it's the people in the middle, the working class, between 200 and 300, who we think this expansion will really help. And so I won't go into a whole lot of details. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. I guess the one thing I would like to point out is I think it's a very questionable fiscal note that we received on this, Madam Chair. As I mentioned, we filed this exact same bill or similar bill. I think our previous bill was even a little bit more aggressive 2 years ago. And at that time, the fiscal note said that it would require adding another seven staff members. And now, for some strange reason, the number has increased to 17. And I noticed that on your bill, which adds about 1,300 people, that requires the addition of about two additional staff members. And my bill, which goes and adds another, say, 2,000, maybe 2,500 people, would requires another 15 staff members. And I think what this does is it really, and I hate to question why anyone is doing something like this, but I think it greatly undermines the credibility of the department when they put out a fiscal note like this, Madam Chair. And I guess I'll leave it to the members to decide how much to question them on it, but I know I'm on that budget subcommittee, and when I review their budget, I'm certainly going to look at that with a scant eye in light of the fiscal note that they've prepared on this bill. So with that, I'll stop, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Okay, are there any questions of Senator Wilkowski from the committee members? Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to Senator, to the sponsor, how then would this legislation, if it were to pass into law, comport with the bill just signed by President Obama?
I'm going to turn over that question to my staffer, Michelle.
Senator Ellis, through the chair, the current bill, as we understand it, would provide funding to get Alaska easily up to 200% of eligible children of the federal poverty level, and department people can speak to that. What we've also heard is assurances from Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and others that it's the intent of the Congress to provide sufficient funding to cover all states' efforts to ensure that children are insured. So the funding that we've received so far gets us to 200%, but there's indication by leaders in Congress that we could get up higher. All Alaska would have to do is revise its plan, and its allotment should increase as well.
Thank you very much. We do have somebody in the audience that could speak to the fiscal note from the department, and they are here, so if you want to hear an explanation on your concern, we could call someone up at this time.
Please.
Leave it. I would be curious to find out why the number of employees they think they need has increased by 10 over the last year when the bill has really remained essentially the same, and why they think they need 15 additional employees over your bill, which increases to 200%.
Jerry Fuller, are you there? And we also have Sherwood in the audience. I don't know who all want to come up to speak to this, but I'd like for you to do that.
Madam Chair, this is Jerry Fuller. I am here. I think in terms of the actual position, you probably have Ellie Fitzgerald there that might have a lot more.
Yes, she is here. Yes. Maybe you want to state your name for the record, please?
Good morning, Madam Chairman, or good afternoon, excuse me. Ellie Fitzgerald with the Division of Public Assistance in the Department of Health and Social Services.
And John Sherwood with the Department of Health and Social Services.
I guess getting back to Senator Wilkowski's comments and concerns about the fiscal notes, we can say that we're treading new ground. The workload that goes into calculating costs and premiums for families up to 300% of poverty is something that we've not done before. The states that have done it have found that it's very intensive. In addition, you know, we can go, I don't know if you want to go through the fiscal notes here in committee or wait till finance committee. I'd be happy to kind of walk through the work that we see that is involved with essentially running, operating this expanded program today, if you'd like.
I think it would be helpful if you would run through it, because all of us do not serve on finance, and I know eventually they would do that, but
sure, I'd be happy.
It's worthwhile to do that.
And I can cover the Division of Public Assistance, and then John can cover the other divisions, because as you know, Medicaid touches most divisions in the Department of Health and Social Services. So in the Division of Public Assistance, we estimated a need for 13 positions. And that's working with the assumptions that we feel are adequate to serve the 3,000 eligible children, or nearly 3,000 eligible children, and the increase in pregnant women. Those are kids that will be found eligible, and not the entire group that will apply for services. At any given time, we see about 30% of our applications get denied. So we may, on average, see around 4,000 or so kids applying for services. And with the higher income groups, that's verifying the income of the family members to ensure that they qualify, dealing with different types of employment, different types of income, calculating their premiums, what they'll have to pay per child, monitoring those premiums as their income changes, going through a lot of accounting, not just from the point that they qualify or determine eligible, but on an ongoing basis. And I understand previously there was a fiscal note that was developed that showed fewer number of staff, but as we become more familiar with what this work would entail, we think that more staff will be needed than previously estimated. And I will also note that on page 2 of fiscal note, where we have a breakdown at least of the 13 positions in the eligibility field, which is where I oversee, we've included 4 what we call lead worker positions that would essentially provide statewide outreach. So that would be contacting health providers in the communities, clinics that are serving children, to ensure that they know about the program, help them explain how to apply, how their premiums are calculated. And then as we have interruptions in coverage, if a family's not able to pay their premium and we have to suspend their benefits, getting them reinstated again. So it really is running almost another insurance program, and this is our best estimation of the work that it'll take. So we requested 2 administrative support staff, 5 eligibility workers, the 4 lead eligibility workers that would also be doing the quality assurance and the community outreach, a supervisor, and then an analyst to oversee interpretation of the rules, developing the policies, making the system changes, and doing more of the technical support. So that's a brief explanation of the 13 positions, which is about $350,000 general fund and about $350,000 federal, rounding.
I have a question. Can you tell me if those 4 lead eligibility workers, technicians, were included in the bill last year in the fiscal note?
Madam Chairman, I don't believe they were.
Okay, but I
don't have that fiscal note with me. I'd be happy to get back with you.
Look. Okay. Any questions from the committee? Thank you for your explanation. And I'll call this. Senator Thomas, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just thank you, Madam Chairman. Just one question. Is the contractual services for telephones, is that the average cost the state is paying just in general across the board annually of $15,000 per telephone, is that, or am I misreading something there?
Madam Chairman, Senator Thomas, that's the cost associated with the phones and some of the IT usage for our computer systems as well, now that the phones are all connected to our computer system. That's correct.
Amazing. Thank you.
And Senator Wilkowski, did you want to come forward in case you have other questions you'd like to have answered?
Madam Chair,
if you just come up here, that'll be fine.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Fitzgerald, did you say that you checked with other states that already have a track record with going beyond 200% of poverty? Or it's speculation on the part of other states? Or exactly what went into you checking? I think you said in your previous testimony that you checked with other states and their experience?
Senator Ellis, through the chair, we have not checked with other states on their experience, but what we hear nationally, as we have been working and looking towards this, The federal regulations, which were proposed for a while and some states have gained experience, that's the information that we've heard on calls, state-to-state call chats. But our analysis is really based on our estimation of the work as we know it here in Alaska and what we foresee as being some of the complexities just from what we go through now in terms of verifying eligibility for Denali Kid Care households.
Okay. So there's not really any experience elsewhere that's specifically guiding your fiscal note here?
Senator Ellis, through the chair, no, not specifically.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Sherwood, did you have anything to add to?
Through the chair, I could discuss the Medical Assistance Administration fiscal note if the committee would like.
Is that a concern that we want to hear discussed at this time or to the front of the bill?
Well, Madam Chair, I guess there are a couple of things going on here. My biggest concern is the fact that to go from 175 to 200 adds roughly 1,400 people, and you're only adding two additional staff, correct? Is that correct? And then to go from my plan from 200 to 300, that adds another roughly 2,000 people to the roles. Is that correct?
I believe it's about 1,700, but
okay. So
approximately.
So it adds roughly the same amount of people, and yet you need 15 additional people for the same amount of people that you're adding. Is that what you're trying to tell this committee?
Through the chair, that's what our fiscal notes say. I think, again, a big piece of that is around the issue of premiums, both premium collection and because if people's income changes, for instance, it goes down, then they would be subject to a reduced premium. People would want us to recalculate those premiums and make the corrections. With the increase simply from 175 to 200% of poverty, and with continuous eligibility for children, you work a case once, you work the case until the next review period. You don't need to go in and make additional adjustments. And therefore, the case work per case, I think, is significantly different. So that's.
And may I ask some more questions, Madam Chair? Just out of curiosity, does the administration support SB 87?
Through the chair, there are several proposals under discussion, and the governor has supported expansion to 200% of poverty. In looking at the proposals, the administration has a preference for cost sharing through premiums and an asset test. I do not have a position on SB 87 to share with you at this time.
So if I could, so I heard you correctly that they do support the fundamental philosophy of what SB 87 is attempting to do with a cost sharing component.
Through the chair, they do support the notion of cost sharing.
Okay. Yeah. Did the administration attempt to work to stop the federal increase above 200%? Did the administration work on any amendments to that effect at the congressional level?
Through the chair, I can't answer that specific question. I know the department responded to questions from our congressional delegation about different proposals. Mr. Fuller on the line had more communication with our delegation. If he wants to add something, he may want to do so.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Jerry Fuller.
Yes.
Senator Wilikowski, I think you're well aware that I responded to questions and comments from our senatorial delegation as they were working through the SCHIP reauthorization. So I believe the answer is yes to your question.
Thank you.
Senator Wilikowski, for your own information, you were not here. We do have two people from NCSL, I'm sorry, on the line for questions. And if you think that it would be worth your while to maybe take that in consideration while they're here, feel free to do so.
I guess I have a, if I could, Madam Chair, just
yes.
For the folks online from NCSL, my understanding is that requiring premiums or enrollment fees, a cost-sharing provision, somewhat like we have in this bill, is fairly common.
Senator, this is Martha King from NCSL. Jennifer, are you there as well?
Yes, I am.
Jennifer, you want to tackle that?
24 states, they charge co-payments.
Before you ask the question, would you state your name for the records, please?
Sorry, this is Jennifer Saunders from the National Conference of State Legislatures.
All right, thank you.
Yes, 24 states charge co-payments, and 35 states have premiums or enrollment.
Is that included in the SS test?
Yes, 46 states and the District of Columbia do not require an SS test.
45 do not?
46 states
46.
And the District of Columbia do not.
All right, thank you. Any other questions?
I have no other questions, Madam Chair.
I do have a question from Senator Passavant.
At what level do the other states require a premium or a copay at? In other words, is it 225, 250? What is the consensus in that?
Yes, this is Jennifer Saunders again from NCSL. And 9 states impose premiums with on children and families with incomes below 150% of the federal poverty guidelines. And 26 states charge premiums at an income level over 150%. 24 states do at 200% of the federal poverty guidelines or over, and 18 states do at above 250% of the federal poverty guidelines.
Madam Chair, this is Martha King with NCSL.
Yes, Martha.
There is a difference in the state's ability to charge copays depending on whether your state has a Medicaid expansion for your SCHIP program, which is what Alaska does, mm-hmm. versus whether you have a standalone insurance-like SCHIP program.
And yes, Martha, thanks for making that statement. Does that mean that we could not go down to like 150% because we don't have a standalone program?
Let me have Jennifer field that one.
Yes, this is Jennifer. And below 150%, cost-sharing requirements are very restrictive under Medicaid rules. But above 150%, they are not as restrictive. And I don't have the exact requirement.
I'd like to have further information on that. You can get it to me later. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Any other questions from the committee, from NCSL staff? Yes, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My question would be almost the same one. If in NCSL's experience there is a particular formula that some states have developed to use when calculating the change in the amount of reimbursement of the federal poverty level, some good experience that we might benefit from in the state of Alaska.
This is Jennifer from NCSL, and I am not aware of any, but I can certainly try to find out for you and get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Senator Ellis?
So, Madam Chair, could we go back to the department folks?
Yes, we may.
Okay. Through the chair to Ms. Fitzgerald or Mr. Sherwood. So are you all representing to us that every person, all of those 15 folks, 100% of their time, 100% of their phone, 100% of their computer, or their desk, whatever's reflected here in the fiscal note, would be for this program? They would be doing no other activities whatsoever in the department? It would just be the SCHIP function?
Senator Ellis, through the chair, that's correct. Right now, our Denali KidCare office is operated out of Anchorage primarily, although we do accept pregnant women applications and try and do emergent decisions across the state as pregnant women are applying. And that is the work. It's determining eligibility for these higher income groups. There is, because Medicaid is so large, that of course they're always looking at if they don't qualify for these higher groups or might qualify for other types, like children with disabilities, then they do triage and look for other coverages that would not be SCHIP coverage. Excuse me. But the work that they do is primarily Denali KidCare.
Further question? Thank you very much. The sponsor, any other questions?
I don't have any other. No, I don't have any other questions. I'll just make a, I guess, statement and wrap up.
Okay.
Unless members have statements. We can go to 300%, and we can basically provide insurance for most of the children in the state of Alaska for another $1.3 million, according to the department's, what we believe to be an overly generous estimate of what the cost will be. We think it is much less. We think to say that it will require two additional staff to add another 1,500 or 1,600 kids and pregnant mothers, you need only two staff, but to add another 1,500 to go from 200 to 300, a policy position that we know the administration fought against at the congressional level, you now need 15 staff. This just it stretches the mind's imagination that is accurate. And so, but even if it is, for $1.3 million, we're we're going up to 300% of the federal poverty level. And I think that's more than reasonable, and I would urge this committee's support.
I thank you very much. Any questions of the sponsor? We do have some people that signed up for your bill. And so we're going to go into the public testimony at this time. For Senate Bill 87, we have a Stephen Levi.
No, I will not be testifying.
You will not? Or are you just listening? Okay, Jordan Nigro, are you speaking on this particular bill? Your name is on the list.
Well, I would say the same thing.
But you do support that bill. You want to come forward and just say that? That's fine. Is there anybody here to testify for Senate Bill 87?
Dr. Beatty as well.
Yes.
Do you want me to say that I support it for the record?
You just give your name for the record and say whatever
you want. This is Jordan Nigro with the Alaska Association of Homes for Children, and I would just urge the committee to pass this bill out.
All right, thank you. I guess there's no question. There are other people to testify on this particular bill. Yeah, I know that you may come.
My name is Laverne Dementiff, and I'm with the National Association of Social Workers, and my testimony earlier stands, and I support the National Association of Social Workers Alaska chapter supports Senate Bill 87. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rod Beatty, would you come forward? You're here to testify.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Rod Beatty, President of the Alaska State Hospital Nursing Home Association.
Yes.
Having been a state health director for 12 years, I understand the difficulty of going forward with this kind of a proposal. However, our membership supports the bill. While we really want to see the state get to 200%, this is a well-constructed piece of legislation. Let me just give you a few reasons why. It doesn't have cost sharing below 200%, which we think is important because we don't think you'll see it, and it'll end up being on the backs of physicians, and they won't collect the full fee that they're needing in order to be able to serve this population. Second, there's significant cost sharing above 200%. It isn't a giveaway program, so there's a real attempt to have individual responsibility as part of this expansion into the program. Give you a couple examples. There's annual contribution of $20 to $100 per child above 200% based on income. And there's a requirement to set that sliding fee schedule so that it's sensitive to income. But again, that's a significant contribution per child for families at this income level. above 250%, there's also copayments of 20%. And if you look at physician, hospital, other charges in the state, that's again another sizable out-of-pocket expense for these families. There's also a strong anti-crowd-out measure in the bill. And crowd-out refers to when you build a public program, people come from private coverage into public coverage, and it ends up shifting who pays for it rather than who gets covered. Again, there's provisions in this legislation that would require the state to make sure that doesn't happen. And there's many tools available nationwide for assuring that doesn't happen. Massachusetts, which just implemented their universal health coverage program, didn't have significant crowd out because they built provisions like that in there, yet they cut their uninsured rate from about 9% to 4.5% in 18 months. So again, I think that's a very important component of this bill. So if there are federal and state dollars available, we think this is a good next step after going to 200%, and would really urge you to seriously consider it. And we think it's well constructed, and Senator Wilkowski and his staff have put really good thought into constructing something that I think would be good for the state. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not really a question, but just thank you for that testimony. I mean, coming from folks that watch the bottom line and deliver a professional service, you all supporting the legislation and calling it well constructed and well conceived is great testimony to carry through the process. So I'm hoping you'll work all your powerful connections here in the Capitol and help us get this bill passed.
Through the chair, Senator Ellis, this is one of the bills we will be following.
Yeah. Thank you.
Senator Passman.
Yes, thank you as well. And the question that I have is for the hospitals to administer this, would it be more efficient to have a flat fee charge as compared to a percentage of income?
Through the chair, Senator Passman, I'm not sure how the department would actually construct that, but typically, those fees would already be determined and be part of the eligibility process. And when someone gets a card saying that they're eligible for the program, in other states, the card would indicate what their co-payment amount is or their deductible, whatever it is that they're being charged. So the hospital and the physician wouldn't be the parties that were calculating that. It would already have been calculated and provided to the provider as part of the information that they get when the patient comes into their office.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a humanitarian gesture, then, possibly would the hospitals be in support of an incremental discount for every $50 increment in the federal poverty level increase as it is applied?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, incremental discount in what the families charged for
no,
the service?
What the charge from the hospitals and the other providers are.
Through the chair, Senator, that's what I meant, that the charge from the provider to the
correct
family?
Exactly, of course, yeah.
You know, I guess we'd have to understand what all that means, but we are giving significant discounts now, okay, obviously, because Medicaid and other federal programs don't pay what's being charged. They're well below that. So they would come under the protection, though, of the Medicaid rules, which say that once you are billed as a Medicaid patient, that's all you can charge that family and that's all you can charge that child. You can't bill them for anything above that. So there's considerable protection to the family there in terms of not having excessive financial liability that they can never dig out from under.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that want to testify on this particular legislation? What about off-site? Hear no other
Senator Davis?
Yes.
This is Donna Graham in Anchorage.
Yes.
If I could, thank you.
Yes, you may.
I would just like to speak to the fact that we agree that 13, and the Bill 13 is very important. We must get at least the 200%. But this is a wonderful bill, and it is very fiscally responsible as we read it, that being able to keep kids healthy and to work on the wellness end makes so much more sense than spending our money getting them well after these come apart. So, yes, this is a wonderful bill, and I have great faith that our department can administer this efficiently and well, and that this state can do right by all of its children. That would be great.
Thanks for your testimony. Any questions?
Hello?
Yes?
This is Jody Budo from American Academy of Pediatrics.
Yes.
In hearing the testimony, has anyone considered thinking a little bit outside the box and rather than making a whole bunch of hoops for everybody to jump through and making 15 positions required, there must be easier ways that people have figured out how to quantify eligibility for maybe even a longer period of time. So that there aren't so many hoops for the patients to jump through or the parents to jump through. And similarly, there's not so much administrative work on behalf of the department. I would like to encourage maybe a little bit of, thinking of things a little differently in terms of signing up for eligibility so it's not quite so cumbersome for everybody.
All right. Thanks for your testimony. I think that's a good suggestion that will be passed on. This is Health Social Services Committee. A lot of that work that you were talking about is going to have to take place in finance, not here in my committee. I am a co-sponsor of this particular piece of legislation, and I know it's an excellent piece, and I know that it's better than, I won't say where the bills are, but there are other bills that's out there. Does not come up to this mark, and if we're going to have health care for all our children, this is the piece of legislation that I would like to see passed. And so I'm glad that we have both of these bills before us, the 200% as well as the full care for all the kids in our state. I see one of my staff members has his hand up. You need to come forward to make a statement, or what's your concern?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to
state your name for the record,
Tom,
please.
Tom Obermeyer, aide to Senator Davis. The package that was handed out to the members of the committee includes a Kaiser Commission Medicaid and uninsured that on page 10 indicates that 11 states took steps to reduce procedural barriers to coverage for children. This is a cost-saving arrangement that I think the state might look at. I would ask that if there's some question about it, how these states were able to no longer require families to participate in face-to-face interviews to obtain health coverage for children. Colorado adopted administrative verification and renewal, meaning that the state no longer requires families to provide paper documentation of their income and eligibility workers that are existing databases to verify information and so forth. So there's quite a few things that have been done in other states that would assist in reducing the numbers that were presented by Senator Wielkowski and Senate Bill 87.
Thank you for bringing that forward, and we do have that in our package. And I also would like to say that administration is working on some regulations that will narrow the scope on how soon we would interview the people again instead of the 6 months they expended it to a year. There's a lot of outreach work that has to be done. There's no need to pass bill if we can't get the information out to people so they will know that they have the 200%. So there's lots of work to be done. But like I said, it's not necessary. It's something that has to take place in this particular committee as far as the finance part of it. I don't know what you want to do. I know we don't always move bills out the first time around, but I think these two bills are important enough that unless there are other concerns that we have, I'm certainly willing to move these bills up to finance because I know they'll be there for a while. And as soon as we can get them there, the better off we're going to be. I'd like to hear from the committee. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but I'd like for you to step up to the plate and say that you're willing to move forward on both bills if we could do that. My vice chair, I don't.
Well,
before we do that, if you got statements you want to make,
I'm happy to move the bill.
Okay.
As am I.
So make the motion for both bills and we'll do that.
Well, we need to do it one at a time.
I understand that. I'm waiting for
the Senator
13
Fairbanks
was first. We'll go with that.
To do that.
I would move that we advance Senate Bill 13 and advance that to the Finance Committee.
With
individual recommendations.
And attached fiscal note.
And with the attached fiscal note.
Okay. Yes. All right. There's no objection, so there's no need to call the roll, is it? Okay, will we move to the next bill?
I would move that we advance Senate Bill 87 to the Finance Committee and with individual recommendations and with the fiscal note.
Any objection? Hearing objection, or we don't call the roll and it's done. We have no other business to come before us today, and that completes this committee meeting. Thank you very much.